Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. And some guidance from above. The people got me questioning.
All right, like to welcome you to the Brothers for Real. We are here again. This is the Brothers for Real radio show, joining you every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk, Marketing Toolkit Network. We are four brothers, just telling it like it is, keeping it real. Now, the good thing about it, you don't have to be a brother to join us, but you do have to be real. You have to be real. We talk about the realest issues in the realest way. We talk about what's in the news. We talk about things that affect your everyday life. We talk about things that affect your community. Whether it's financial, whether it's business, whether it's social, whether it's nonprofit, whether it's political, human rights. So many things that affect us that we just need to talk about. We're like your online therapy. Not in an official capacity, but sometimes you just need somebody to talk to or just to listen. Just sit down and yeah, I've been through that too. That's what we are here, Brothers for Real. Now you can join the conversation if you are near a phone and you can't get to your computer, or if you're on your computer and you have to run out, just call us 646-787-1967. That's the call-in number. You can join the conversation, or you can just listen. That's 647-787-1967. Brothers for Real was started by four brothers: Joseph, Robert, Leon, and Curtis. And we get on here every Tuesday and talk about these issues. I am Robert Gatewood. I am hosting, but I'm joined by my brothers. That song, Where is the Love, is by Black Eyed Peas. Very poignant song. These guys be throwing down, talking about where is the love? Where is the love, daggone? Hey, Leon, where is the love, man?
Man, I'm looking, bro. I'm looking.
You looking
at yourself?
Where is? Folks going crazy. It seems like love. Like at one point in the song, the guy said, "Where can love be found?" Because we got so many things going on right now that you wonder. Just want to ask yourself, where is the love? Where is the love? This is the Brothers for Real radio show. Got Leon here and also got Curtis. Welcome to the show, brothers.
Hey, Robert. How you doing, brother? Hey, Curtis. How you doing,
man? Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Good
day, brothers.
Yeah, man. Hey, Robert.
Yo.
I was going to say you missed a good party Sunday, man. I was up there at Curtis's. I spent the night with Curtis up in Oxford Saturday night. And we left.
Oh.
He had a birthday dinner with his wife, man, on Sunday. In Durham. It was a beautiful thing, man. Now, there was some love up in there, bro.
So that's where the love is. The love was in
That's
Durham.
Where the love
was it
was.
In Durham?
That was some love.
Well, you were in Durham or Oxford?
We were in Durham, man. We had the love in Durham, yeah.
Well, that, see? That,
thank you.
Curtis, we were just talking about the song by Black Eyed Peas, which comes on to open up the show for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy
mm-hmm.
just kept saying, where is the love? Where is the love? Now, Leon's telling me the love was up there in Durham with Odessa's birthday party.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, Leon. It was a great honor having Leon up there. Yeah, we had a great time. And I've always meant to talk about that song, so I'm glad we're talking about it because the song says a lot. I think he wrote that song probably during Bush's warmongering, lying
mm-hmm.
attack on the Middle East over there with Iraq and Afghanistan and so on and so forth. And but it is so relevant, prevalent, and also especially in the Christian community. The Christian community, when Jesus talked about the scripture, Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
of course, the greatest law, of course, he was asked by a lawyer from the Pharisees. He said the greatest law is to love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to say, put these laws on top of all the other laws and all the prophets. So I don't know
mm-hmm.
why we still wondering what we got to figure out in Bible study.
That's a lot of love. So you're putting that on top of all of the other laws.
Put that on top
of
all
of
the laws. In other words,
a
you
lot
do
of laws.
That. You know, and, you know, so people still arguing about what happened in, you know, the Old Testament here and the Old Testament there, and then there's some arguments about, you know, scripture and interpretation. Jesus basically said, look, interpret this. Love somebody.
Hey, well, anyway, let's say happy birthday to Odessa. I'm going to get to you. We're going to introduce in a minute, but let me just run down this. I can't even hold this in any longer because do you ask yourself, and we all have to deal with these things in our own way, but that's why this show is so important. Some people just call and listen just so they can frustrate vicariously through the brothers for real. So now we have a president under the cloud of corruption and collusion. Everybody in Hollywood and Congress seems to be harassing women. Now the editor of National Enquirer has been accused of sexual harassment. Trump is about to move the U.S. Embassy to Tel Aviv, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is going to tick off just about every Arab country in the world. And there's a lot of Muslims under these Arab countries, here and abroad. So you're going to have half the world now ticked off at the U.S. for making this crazy boneheaded move. You got
right.
North Korea now has a missile that can hit the U.S. You got Bitcoin threatening the U.S. dollar. You know, in the old days, the U.S. dollar was like the law of the land. All the countries around the world use the U.S. dollar as the standard. Well, now that Trump is going so crazy, some of these countries are starting to say, why in the world are we holding the U.S. to such high esteem, so much so that we're using their dollar as the standard? Now you got this cryptocurrency
right.
such as Bitcoin coming along. You got China out here. China just went to Venezuela and bailed them out because they were having so much trouble, but they used this encrypted currency to do it. They didn't use the U.S. dollar. So the United
right.
States keeps losing its credibility abroad thanks to Trump. Some of these countries are starting to reevaluate, should the dollar be the standard? And if that happens, if somebody decides that it's not, you're going to see some serious shake up in the American economy. You got Trump taking land from the Native Americans over here at the Bear's Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante, where these national monuments have been out there for years. Bush and Obama pretty much kind of expanded it or tinkered with it a little bit, but they never trunk it. So the 1906 Antiquities Act gave the president broad authority to protect landmarks. Well, Trump is probably one of the first ones to use that same law to rescind historic landmark. So once again, we got three wildfires going out in California right now. I mean, like the world's burning down. Russia is banned from the Olympics, and the Supreme Court just allowed Trump to ban Muslims from entering the country. So, if that doesn't make you want to
drop the mic,
I have to do one of these numbers.
No, no, no,
All right. Calm down. Calm down, Joseph. Calm down. No, that's not Joseph. That's not Joseph.
All right.
But anyway, it makes you it makes you think though. But anyway, we're gonna tackle some of these topics. I just had to get that out the other day, just so we can so you guys can chew on some of the, just some of all this stuff that's going on, because we talk about it all here. But first, I want to go around the room and introduce the brothers. Just so for the new listeners, I'd like to welcome all of the new listeners tuning in for the first time. This is the Brothers for Real radio show, broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio. Go to brothersforreal.com, and you can find all of the information, the call-in number. You can listen to past shows. You can find the Blog Talk information. You can contact us. You can support the show. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram, and you can also find us on Twitter. So the Brothers for Real is out there. I'd like to introduce the brothers. Start with Leon. Leon, give us a quick spiel on who you are and what's going on in the world.
I just like to say hello to everybody out there, man. Thank you guys for listening in to us every week. Understand by Robert, we're getting a good listenership, if you will. And I appreciate everybody listening. But today, man, I just want to tell about the day. You know, today we had a busy day. We were at a senior citizen luncheon at noon. And then we had, man, that was a beautiful thing, man. Tell you, old people get mean when they're hungry, though. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. And then we were at Marvin Elementary School at about 2:30 today. We have we're partnering with, yes, sir.
Leon. That must mean I'm old because I get pretty mean when I'm hungry too. So I guess that's the telltale sign.
I'm talking about.
Okay, I'll be ready to turn some stuff over, boy.
We get ill, boy. I'll be hungry when I get home. I mean, but look, man, we went to Marvin School. We're doing a partnership with the Marvin Chapter of Los Amigos, doing a Martin Luther King essay contest. So as a part of the contest, we're doing some little writing workshops, getting the kids ready to write the work, write the essays, because sometimes, you know, kids, you know, the teachers help out too, you know, with this project, but we want to go into the school system, and the principal, Miss Deanya Pratt, has been gracious enough to invite us in at the end of the day to come in and get all the kids who have about 30 kids have agreed to participate in the essay contest. So she's been gracious enough to invite us in and share some time, about an hour at the end of the day, with these kids doing these workshops, man. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. She participates as well. Yes, sir.
And do this, Leon, because I want to remind you and all the other brothers, we have a national and probably an international audience. So when you speak for on local issues, they let people know what area you're referring to, if it's North Carolina, if it's Washington, D.C., if it's Charlotte, just so people can have perspective.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, we've been the Morven, North Carolina, near Charlotte. We're right outside, about 50 miles, maybe 60 miles from Charlotte, North Carolina, Anson County, North Carolina. Sorry about that, man. I forgot. Yeah. I thought I was just going to give away, sir.
Because it gives people perspective, because sometimes people just like to know what's happening in other parts of the country. Just like we have this this race going on down in where are they, the black lady running against the white lady, and it's like neck and neck. Is that down in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
I think it's Atlanta. Yeah. Because, you know, to the people in Atlanta, that's all they're talking about. But people outside the area, sometimes you just want to know what's going on in other parts of the country. So it's not a bad thing. It just people just want to, just saying when you say it, let's let people know, hey, this is supposed to happen.
Let me chime in right quick, Robert. Since you brought that up, just like to congratulate the mayor of Salisbury, North Carolina. They just elected their first black mayor. Charlotte, North Carolina, first black female mayor. First,
you said,
well, both of them.
Salisbury.
Remember that? Can you imagine that?
Salisbury used to be the home of the Klan. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
It used to be the Klan capital. Yes, sir. Boy, that's progress.
Sir.
And that's where living
comes. Charlotte inducted a black female mayor last night. So it's a strange time in America. It's a strange time.
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself, is it going to make a difference when we'll keep going. We'll come back to that.
Curtis. First of all, thank you, Robert, for another great job of pulling us together. Thank you, Leon. Again, I appreciate your presence, brother. It's always good to see family, man. That just, if I must say so, I love family. I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
Love my wife. Love my children. Love the grands that are coming in now, mixing, slipping in the mix. And, you know, it's just a great thing. From a large family, everyone who's listening, from a large family, we are all brothers, siblings on the phone here. 14 children, I'm number 12. 10 boys, 4 girls. Beautiful mother, Jenny Vigata Gatewood. If she's listening, I hope she knows it. I love her. We have, of course, our father who left us in 2010, transitioned in 2010, which, of course, I had the honor of eulogizing my father, which was a very difficult task, along with my other brother, my oldest brother, Wade Gatewood. Of course, Aaron Gatewood died during the time I was 15 years old. My brother, he was 20 at the time. That was a very hard pill to swallow as well. Aaron was one of my role models that I looked up to because, unlike some of the other ones, he didn't go right to college. He spent a lot of time at home with us. He would go for a while, maybe come back, but he was right there, and he was just, I mean, I just saw a man, such a young man, seemed like such a strong man image, of course, and he was in NAACP, he was community, he was church, he was leader of our group, Gatewood Brothers, that would take us and made us sing, very, very strong leader. And Aaron Gatewood, of course, who died in 1975. But again, in my brother Joseph's absence, thank him for all he does. Of course, Joseph was the president of the local NAACP in Anson County when I was about 10 years old. He was the youth council president. Keep in mind, Ada Ford Singleton, a woman, a strong black woman, was the president. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people talk to me about, when they talk about civil rights, there is this misconception that it's always a man or older man that's doing civil rights. But I do want people to know, for the most part, I've come up through the NAACP ranks. The first adult president was a woman, Ada Ford Singleton. Of course, my brothers were the youth council presidents. Almost everywhere I've been in the NAACP since as part of the staff, all my leaders were women, except for Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II. So it's not like I've come up through this arrogant space where men have all the power. I mean, I know we have that, and we have to do something about it. But I have been humbled in my upbringing to see women at the forefront and working hard. And I think that has helped me to better understand why we must fight for strong women, because women are really out here doing some great things, and a lot of times the story is undertold, even throughout the 1960s and so on and so forth. You often heard about Dr. King and a lot of the men who were out on the front line, but a lot of times you didn't hear that much about Fannie Lou Hamer and a lot of other women who were actually putting it all on the line as well. But I did just want to throw that holler out there as we see what's going on in our news. Making sure that we find a way to find gender unity as we go through the challenges facing women and so many other issues that we're just seeing every day. And we just need to take a deep breath, let our sisters know that we're not all going to be second-guessing what they're talking about. We love you. We're going to stand beside you. We're going to get through this thing. We're going to do justice. And we're going to bring our families, we're going to rebuild our neighborhoods, and that's what I hope we can do together.
All right. I'm loving it. That was Leon, and that was Curtis. I'm Robert Gatewood. I'm the 10th child, and I appreciate the shout-out you gave to Brother Aaron, Curtis. As a matter of fact, we're going to dedicate this show to Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron was he was the ninth child right above me. And it was very painful to me because we were like, you know, when you're in a very big family, you kind of pair off. I know there was Leon and Curtis. There was Ashley and Daniel. Joseph and Liz. Well, Joseph kind of was like a outlier. He was kind of sharing Aaron with me, I guess. But Aaron and I were kind of like freaking frat. We were only like a year apart. And so it was very painful when he passed away. And like Curtis said, he was very much ahead of his time. He was the founder of the Gatewood Brothers singing group. And I'm sure if he had stuck around a little longer, we probably would have gone a little further down the singing path.
Right.
But like I said, it's not a decision that we make. There's a greater person that makes those kind of calls. So who knows why things happen the way they do. We just have to accept what the good Lord put down there for us. So Aaron, much love. Aaron Gatewood. And then, of course, my mom, I want to say shout out to her. Let her continue to stay with us and be healthy. And I understand she had a couple of rough bumps this past week. But she's got the backing of a big family that's just full of love and prayer. And so we continue to bless her and wish her well. I have a business here in the D.C. area, Gatewood Marketing and the Marketing Pulpit. And so I'm kind of all over the place in the business world, and just glad to be able to give something back this show and the Marketing Pulpit radio show. It's just one of my ways of contributing to our uplifting and economic empowerment and just overall well-being of our community. We have to take this holistic approach. We have to hit it from many angles. We can't be all spiritual, can't be all political, can't be all financial. It's got to be a combination of all those, and that's what we try to bring to this show. And that's why I think the brothers are uniquely qualified because we cover so many areas, but we also open up a big tent. We open up the doors, the phones, and our hearts and minds to anybody who wants to join us. And I'm going to give out the number to anybody who would like to join, either to listen in or to call in. The number is 646-787-1967. We're going to take a quick breath here for a minute. We're going to come back. And when we come back, brothers, we're just going to have a little fun here on this next topic before we get to the heavy stuff. What's your favorite mode of communication and why? Now, are you better at face-to-face, telephone? Do you prefer email? Do you prefer texting? Do you prefer DM, which is direct message, either through social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? So tell us which one you think is best for you and why. Just kind of lets us into the inner workings of how we process information. And particularly now, because people think that it's all one way or the other, some people just swear out that the only way to communicate is through their way. But you'd be surprised how other people have their favorites. So what we're going to do, I want you guys to chew on that. If anybody else wants to call in and join the conversation, be glad to hear your perspective. How do you communicate? Why do you choose the method that you choose? And we're going to kind of unwrap that. And in the last segment, we're going to talk about some of the news items such as Flynn flipping, John Conyers has resigned, and Trump decided to just come on out and endorse Roy Moore for Senate down in Alabama. So hang on to your hat, folks. This is the Brothers for Real radio show. Feel free to call in at 646-787-1967 to join the discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after the break.
That reminds me of myself and all. She's so beautiful, body, soul, and mind. And I just wanna be the one to make her feel good in a special way. I know that I will never find another one like her.
Thank everybody for tuning in to the Brothers For Real radio show. We are here every Friday, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. We're broadcasting on the Marketing Pulpit platform on Blog Talk Radio. And we're glad to have you joining us. We'd like to welcome all of the new listeners. Just a little FYI, the Brothers For Real radio show is the best, getting the best numbers of all of the shows on the Marketing Pulpit Network right now. And that's no knock on the other shows. They're doing well, too. But Brothers For Real has picked up, has found a following out in the D.C. area, down in North Carolina, Charlotte, Waynesboro, Marvin, Monroe, Richmond, Baltimore. And so we can get those numbers right off the network. So I'm not making these numbers up. We're getting a very good listenership from the D.C. area all the way down to the Carolinas and even up into the New York area. I'd like to thank the brothers we have on the line today. We have Leon Gatewood, founder of Holla, very big outfit down in the Carolinas, helping young people learn and achieve, helping our little ones learn and achieve. Appreciate everything he's doing.
Amen.
And we have Curtis Gatewood. Curtis is this is a guy who's no stranger to most people. He's if you haven't seen him in the news, then you may have been in a cave somewhere, because he's constantly across the news, either in handcuffs or in front of a podium. Now, when he's in handcuffs, don't take that the wrong way. He's usually being arrested for fighting injustice. And I always have everybody say this guy's a criminal. But I say the same thing I say about Curtis, I used to say about Dick Gregory, Brother Dick Gregory. He's an acquaintance. I didn't know him personally, but we had met a few times and taken a couple of pictures together. But one thing I admired about Dick Gregory was that he was fearless. This guy was fearless. I mean, anybody who's been in the limelight, I'm sure Curtis knows better than anybody, that it takes a certain type of fearlessness to put yourself out there. And you have to have a very supportive structure, people around you, family and friends and so forth, who have to share some of that fearlessness as well. And so so to both my brothers, Leon and Curtis, who's also started an organization recently, the Justice Ministries, and his organization, SKU Stop Killing Us. It's making a lot of noise, good noise down in North Carolina, and it's also kicked off up here in the nation's capital in front of the Justice Department. I was glad to be a part of that. So.
Amen.
Show out, throw a little love out to the brothers. And Joseph, who's not here, he's down there checking things up financially down in Charlotte with his Gateway Financial. And Joseph is a historian, a politician, real estate agent, financial insurance. And he's always bringing a lot of knowledge and wisdom. So that's the brothers. And, of course, yours truly, I'm Robert Gatewood. I am glad to be able to bring this platform to the airwaves. We have somebody on the line. If you want to join us, by all means, feel free to just wave your hand and we will pick up. Your mic is on mute. We're going to talk about, let's have a little fun here for a minute. Now you got all of these ways to communicate. You got phone, email, text, DM, and to all you old heads out there, DM is direct message. If you have like a Facebook account or Instagram or Twitter, you send somebody a DM. It's kind of like text message, but it's only through that platform, whereas text message is generally on your telephone. And then, of course, there's old-fashioned face-to-face. So I'm just going to ask the brothers. I'm going to start with you, Leon. And yeah, I'm sure you have to deal with a lot of people all day long. What is your preference of communication with people? Face-to-face, phone, email, text, DM, and why?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation and who it is,
ooh, like
maybe. You like
okay.
that?
Go ahead. Oh, yeah,
because,
I like that.
Some people, keep it real, some people talk too much, so you text them.
Leon, you're not right. Because hey Leon, you're keeping it really hey Leon, that's why we're brothers for real, but that is too real.
It is true.
And you hope when they text you text them, they don't accept that as an invitation to call. So
like some do,
Sir?
Like some do, you send them a text just so you don't have to talk to them, right? Then they turn around, oh, that was Leon, let me call him.
Right. And then they say, well, why you didn't call? Answer, because you just text me. That's why I text you. Anyway, like I said, it kind of depends on the situation. You know, everybody's busy now. So it's cool to have all these different types of ways to communicate. So you can't just say, hey, how you doing, through a text and move on, you know. Or you can drop an email and say, hey, if you got a little more time, read this email. And if you want to talk to somebody, some people just prefer face-to-face, you know.
Right. All right, man, that's pretty good. Leon says kind of situational. And if he sends you a text, that doesn't mean pick up the phone and call. He sent you a text because that's what he wants to keep it on the text. What say you, Curtis?
Man, I tell you, I don't think I can do better than that. I really think that, because I was thinking along those same terms when you asked. I don't want to sound like I'm just saying what Leon said, but I tell you, I was thinking the situation more. It depends on the situation as well, because of the fact that there are times where I don't feel like texting. You know, I don't want to go through all that typing, you know, especially if it's somebody I don't mind talking to. So if we get this little text stuff going, I'll be sending the text saying, can you talk? And you text and you
pick
up.
Yeah,
I'm driving or I just don't feel like typing. So it depends on, like you said, the situation. And then I've also been in a situation with Leon, you know, there's just certain people where, you know, you don't have that kind of time to talk and try to spend the next 5 minutes getting off the phone. And so, so believe me, all methods are appreciated, you know, depending on the situation. And then when it comes to certain communication, when it's more serious, whether it be email or some other form of writing, I found that writing or putting in writing sometimes is very helpful because, you know, you do have a record of what you said.
That's good. Well, guys, I'm not going to be as vague. I'm just going to come out and say I prefer text. Now, that doesn't mean I don't use all of them. But I am not a phone person. I'm gonna tell you, when I first got out of college, I was a buyer for Grand Union Supermarkets. I was a buyer for a national food chain. Now as a buyer, I don't know if you know what a buyer does, but the job of a buyer is to field phone calls from salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know by instinct we run from salespeople. It's like, man, the first time somebody calls trying to sell you aluminum siding or some insurance, you can't wait to get off the phone. My job was to take these calls. Like torture. I love that job because you got some great perks. The pay was excellent. But my job was to talk to salespeople all day. And there was no texting back then. There was no emailing. There was no DMing. It was only phone and face-to-face. So I
did
developed
have call
a
call ID at least?
No caller ID.
Did you have call ID?
No, Leon, we couldn't call out because the boss made sure that your job was to sit there and take calls from salespeople just to make sure you weren't missing out on good deals, new products had to be slotted on the shelf. These guys, some guy from Maxwell Coffee might say, look, we got a $2 allowance on a case of coffee. Do you want to buy a carload? And if you didn't get that deal and Giant Food did get it, they're going to say, Robert, why didn't you get that same deal they have over there at Giant? And I said, well, because I didn't want to talk on the phone. I'd have been out the door.
Yeah,
I'd have been on the train back to North Carolina.
Right.
So at an early age, I was young back then too. I was still like in my 20s. So I developed this early aversion to the telephone. Now, so you can imagine my joy when email came along. I was like, you mean I can convey the same message almost in the same real time, not quite as real time, but I can say the same thing without having to pick up the phone. The only thing missing was the real time nature of it that email brought versus telephone. So I'm saying to myself, man, suppose you could email people in real time. That would be the perfect storm for me. And guess what happened? Text.
Text.
And yeah, like Leon said, I'm telling you, folks, I love people. I love to communicate. I'm just a people person. But some folks just don't know how to get off the phone. I'm sorry. I can convey the same message in about 5 seconds that it would take a 10-minute phone call. They got to ask about your mom, your family, your daughter, how's the weather, what do you think about the Seahawks beating the Eagles, what about Trump, just to get to the point of do you want this order or not.
Yeah, and what's really bad when you get one of those situations, I hope everybody's listening. If I'm talking to you, I hope you're listening. I hope I'm stomping on your toes. But I know y'all had these people where you even tell them, look, I have them. I'm getting ready to go into a meeting. So let me get back with you. Yeah, but let me tell you one more thing. You know what I'm saying? They come out with a one more thing. I'm like, wait a minute. I just told them. I'm getting ready to go into a meeting. And it's time to be in the meeting. But, you know, so those are the really ones that really gets me. That gets me.
Yeah.
What do you think, Leon?
I was saying, make that little thing holler again. You hear holler when he was saying that, I was about to holler.
Oh, damn. Oh, you mean you're trying to get into the meeting. You've already said, look, I have a meeting to go to.
Right.
And you
said,
but, I already told you, I'm already 5 minutes late.
Right.
That's Curtis trying to get off the phone.
I'm dead. Everybody waiting.
All right, Curtis, calm down, Curtis.
That's crazy, man.
Oh boy! All right, folks. That was all right. So I think. So anyway, make a long story short. Sound like Leon and Curtis said, situational to them. If it depends, and I admit, I think that's the case with everybody to some degree. If you're driving down the street, obviously you can't be texting or DMing. You shouldn't anyway. So in that case, you got to get on the phone.
Right.
But when you sit up in a meeting, you can't be taking phone calls. You're going to text. But
that's right.
Sometimes you have the choice of all four. You choose one for a reason.
Exactly. That's what you're talking about, right?
You're not in the car. You're not in a meeting. You got the phone sitting in front of you. You got your desktop phone sitting there. You got your email account open. And they right down the hall. So you could walk down there and see them if you had to. But you chose one over the other. And I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to choose text most of the time. I just ain't admit it because I like people. I'm a people person, so.
What's the world coming to, though, man? Think about that. What's the world coming to, man?
That is sad, man. That's a sad commentary. Because
it's sad.
One time we're going to have to talk about this, Robert, about how we must rid ourselves with automated answering machines. Because this is running me crazy, man. Because a lot of times those things are malfunctioning. You're trying to get to the airport. You're trying to rent a car. This thing talking to talk. It's saying stuff that you're not even answering to. You know, Siri even start tripping. Siri start talking about stuff. You ask Siri for something, and she's giving you totally something else. I did not ask you that. And you can't tell the machine that because the machine ain't going to care. So I'm just saying, hopefully one day we'll get back to real people.
Yeah.
That was good, brother. I tell you what, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. We come back, we're gonna talk about this John Conyers resignation.
Right.
We're gonna talk about Trump just decided to come on out and endorse Roy Moore. He just said, forget it. I'm gonna tell you,
right.
I'm gonna give you my perspective on this and let you guys chime in when we come back. This is the
okay.
Brothers for Real Radio Show. We are in the first week of December. This is the first show of the month of December. We have a full bank of callers and listeners, as always. This show is really picking up steam across the country, and it's no surprise because we talk about the realest issues in the realest way. So hang on, we'll be right back after the break. In the meantime, listen to Frosty with the Jackson.
Oh, with a place on his head,
he begins to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman.
I heard Tito say something in that song.
What do you think,
Dion? I heard Tito say a line in that song.
Yo, oh, Tito got a line.
It had to be Tito. Huh?
He's right. He left them round right to the found. And Tito's right to the traffic stop.
Yeah, they give him
about three words every now and then.
That was Tito.
That's about the only song Tito ever sang. Wait a minute, he sang in, I think, ABC. He said, dabba, 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 a little bit. Let me love each other a little bit. But you know it can't be many if you remember all of the songs, all the words he sang.
Yeah. But Tito the only one that has a record out now. Tito got a slide song out, man. Tito's the one putting something out right now, though, from that crowd.
Tito got a song out.
The door, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Sounds like the more you sing, the worse you ended up in the end. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, Tito,
you don't have the mic on. You sing Jermaine.
He turned to a plastic man. I don't know what Jermaine. That's like Chris Rock. That joke looks a little greasy, boy. My goodness. What the heck? Is that it?
He got a process,
hey,
man.
Let's leave the Jackson alone because they were our nemesis when we were coming up. Remember that? We were like,
I still love the Jackson. I still love them, you know.
And that's where Aaron came in. Aaron, our brother, the ones who started the Gatewood Brothers. He used the Jacksons and the Temptations to kind of keep us in the shape. You want to be like the Jacksons? You want to be like the Temptations? Yeah. Well, maybe not so much now. Maybe not so much. So, but anyway, guys, welcome back to the show. Anybody's on the line? I'm gonna give like a 5 second pause to give anybody on the line a chance to raise your hand. We were talking about before the break, what's your favorite mode of communication? Is it email? Is it phone? Is it face-to-face? Is it texting? Is it DM? And if you want to join in, give your 2 cents, by all means, I'm going to do a three-second pause. All right. Quiet on. Keep it moving. That's all right. That's all right. We have some listeners, though. Hey, guys, look. John Conyers resigned today. This is going to be like a Peyton play, a drama. Before he could even get resigned good, his son, he said he was going to pass the seat down to his son. And then there's another Conyers down in the state senate in New York where he came from who says he's going to challenge the son. I said, man, is this some stuff already? Is this drama already? Man, can't even get out the chair good.
Are they related?
Yeah, they're related. Both are related to Kanye. I think they both named Conyers. So there's two Conyers now going to be fighting. I guess as long as we get one, right? I guess. That's all right. That's okay. And then Trump decides to endorse Roy Moore. Now, let me tell you something. You guys can jump in here. I say Trump is going to jump behind Roy Moore because this is a replay of what happened in 2016 during the election of Donald Trump, during the campaign. Remember, everybody after that Access Hollywood tape where Trump said he was grabbing women by the you-know-what, he could walk up to them and molest them and harass them and pretty much rape them and nobody would do anything about it. Now, he didn't come out and say it at the time that he was actually harassing and molesting and abusing his power. He thought it was cute and cool. But now that people have kind of shined light on this situation, we all know, we see it exactly for what it was. Now, in
right.
spite of that, people were like, oh, my goodness. Remember, the Republicans were saying, I think Paul Ryan had come out against them, and this person had come out against them. And then at the 11th hour, a lot of folks had a change of heart and decided to go ahead and back him anyway. Fast forward now to Roy Moore down in Alabama. Not too long ago, here was Mitch McConnell.
Hey, I believe the women. I believe the women.
And the RNC, the Republican National Committee, withdrew their funding because they said this guy's a child molester. He's not deserving of a seat in the Senate. Here we go at the 11th hour. And I'm setting this up for something else, guys. Here we go again at the 11th hour. We are seeing a pattern here. So, guys, feel free to jump in here. And also, Flynn has flipped. He's now on the side of Mueller. Mueller has him in his hip pocket, so he can't really – he's like going to be his puppy dog for the next couple of months, weeks, or however long to get Trump out of the White House. So he is now – has turned state's witness. So, guys, what do you think about these two events? Are they related? This is Kanye's resignation – Trump endorsing Moore, the 2016 election. Do you see any connections of the dots? Leon.
Well, let me just say this, Robert. Conyers is doing the honorable thing by, if he's resigning, he's doing the honorable thing and the rare thing in politics these days. All these guys that are doing this stuff, man, I mean, I just want everybody to understand how sad this is. You know, that we have come to a situation where politics over everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just politics
mm-hmm.
over everything. Over decency,
okay.
over morality. Politics over everything. So, yeah, it's just politics. That's all I can say about it. It's politics.
It's politics. It's politics as usual. What do you think,
girl? Rotten, they're going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Very good, Leon. I agree. What's up, Curtis? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you see, again, this is I think it's going to end up becoming a situational thing, whereas you have an agenda like the racist agenda with Trump and that crowd and the men who are seeking power. They want to really just make this thing blow over. I think they're hoping that it just becomes something that would come so overwhelming until they can walk right through the fire and go back to business as usual. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that's what they're hoping for. And I think he felt he did that in 2016, like he said, with the running against Hillary Clinton, then coming not only running against a woman who's talking about women's rights, but then go to such an extent of
you know, proving that he is, in fact, a not only willing to do with sexual harassment, but sexual assault, criminal sexual assault that he had himself admitted to. You know, this is not an allegation. You know, he's up there saying, this is what I do, and this is how I can get away with it. So we really have a problem in the White House. And until this problem gets straight, I don't know what to say, Robert, because look at what's going on. I mean, you have a person who is in the White House. The White House, the most powerful position in the world. He's over the largest employer. The U.S. Defense Department is the largest employer in the world. And this is the boss.
That's
the problem. Trump needs to go. This is the bottom line. Trump needs to go. Trump is paying all of the bad precedents, all of the bad modeling, all of Trump must leave. And that is the only way we can restore some decency back to this country, back to this situation. Because how can you, you know, continue? I mean, these men should be resigning. The ones that I'm hearing about, they should be fired, they should be resigning, all that. But you have in the White House, the most powerful position on earth, a man who said, I grabbed them by there.
Well, here's what's going to happen to Trump, though. See, one of these ladies, it's the same thing that happened to Bill Clinton. One of these ladies now is suing him because for defamation of her character because he called her a liar. Right. And that what she did was politically motivated. But she's saying, I'm not a liar. So he's got to prove to me that I'm a liar. And that's going to be one of the problems is he's going to run up against saying this stuff against all these 12 to 13 women who have come out against him. So it's not going to go away, and it's the saddest thing for this country because this is our country. This is it. This is what everybody else sees all around the world. Yeah.
But the dilemma is Trump. Trump is the dilemma. I mean, whether you do whatever you're going to do with Moore, whether you're going to do whatever you're going to do, and I'm saying do the right thing in each case, don't get me wrong. And I'm not, again, I'm not for painting everything with a broad brush, but I'm saying do what you must with those cases. But at the end of the day, if the most powerful man in the world is an admitted rapist, molester, rapist, or sexual assaulter, I mean, if this is the president of the United States and the commanding chief, and he's over all of the military, all of these jobs, we have to figure out. And I just say, I don't believe we have to give up on the idea that Trump must go. That's my thought.
Oh,
that's
no, you can't give up on that idea. Cannot give
Trump
up on that
go.
Idea. No
there
sure.
was a time, Robert, and I want to say this. There was a time when I felt like some people who would say, look, we don't know what's in Pence. So we don't want to push too hard about Trump leaving because, you know, he's an easy target for those of us who stand for justice because he has been so conspicuous in his racism and his ignorance until it makes it easier to fight him. So there was a time, Robert, I felt, well, maybe this Trump thing is the best of the situation right now. And so I was willing to kind of like tolerate that for a while. But I'm to the point, brother, where there must be an all-out war to get Trump out of the White House and deal with Pence when we have to deal with Pence. And if Pence is still a racist, if he's a liar, if he's a cheater, if he's going to be trying to send over 60,000 Haitians back and deport them by 2019, if he's going to come up with all these terrible bills, and we fight him when it's time. But for now, Trump must go.
You are right, and I thought it was I'm going to tie all this together for you guys. I'm going to put it in a nice bow for you for the holiday season. I was listening to Flynn, the news about Flynn flipping, and, of course, Trump was crying. He's like, Hillary Clinton. What about Hillary Clinton? Sorry. Shut up, Trump. He went on this thing about Hillary Clinton. What about Hillary Clinton? She lied to the FBI too. Yada, yada, yada. We have the John Conyers situation where John Conyers has been asked to resign. But then let's look back. Let's tie this Trump endorses Moore. And let's go back to the flipping of Flynn, and then let's go back down to Alabama where we have Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said earlier, at the 11th hour in 2016, all of these Republicans decided to circle the wagons and support Donald Trump in spite of this Access Hollywood tape where he and Billy Bush were having a good old boys. He called it locker room talk. There were seven other people in the van. Even Trump recently tried to say it wasn't even him. It was somebody else that altered the tape. He's really kind of trying to moonwalk away from this because they know that's compelling evidence can actually be used in court. So he's trying to say, well, place that doubt. And then at the last hour, all these folks who had said they weren't going to support him, this was the worst thing in the world, they rallied and came out in large numbers. And, of course, he won the Electoral College vote. He still lost the popular vote. Roy Moore, as recently as a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, Mitch McConnell, the House, the majority of the Senate, said that,
I believe the women.
He said, I believe the women. He said that Roy Moore should step down and not run. And here we are, 1 week from the election, we've seen Mitch McConnell do an about-face. We've seen the RNC, the Republican National Committee, as of yesterday, have decided to endorse Roy Moore and start pouring funds down into Alabama to win this election. Now, let's put on our futuristic thinking cap. Bob Mueller, the special prosecutor for this Russia investigation, is closing in on Trump. The vice is tightening. And just like with Roy Moore, with the 2016 election, we have some people who are kind of like, well, Trump may be a bad guy. He may be a good guy. There may be some collusion. There may be some corruption. But there is going to be – Mueller is going to pass down an indictment. He's going to trap Trump. He's going to come after Trump. But guess what's going to happen? These same Republicans that were sitting on the fence kind of watching, they are going to rally behind Donald Trump, and I'm going to tell you why. Because in politics, there's no permanent friends or interest, or friends or enemies, just permanent interests. Long as you're speaking in hypotheticals, as was the case in 2016 after that Access Hollywood tape, they were hypothetically saying, well, shoot, Trump is not going to win anyway. You know what I'm saying? They were saying, hey, of course he's a bad guy. Get him out of here. Throw the bomb out. Same thing with Roy Moore. When they first came out and said he was talking about dating 14-year-old girls, he's got his signature in their yearbook. He's calling girls from their home ec class to come to the office and talk to this 32-year-old district attorney. People are saying, shoot, this guy's not going to win anyway. Throw the bomb out. But at the 11th hour, when they felt the pain that might happen if they lose, they're thinking about tax reform. They're thinking about health care. They're thinking about votes. They were thinking about Donald Trump back in 2016, of all the things that they can do if they have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. When their interest became real and it left from the hypothetical into reality, they rallied. And what's going to happen when Mueller comes after Trump? They are going to rally again. I'm telling you. Mark my word here on the Brothers for Real radio show. These guys are going to rally behind Donald Trump because they have something to lose themselves. They don't care about Donald Trump. They're worrying about what they're going to lose. And plus, Trump has some dirt on them, probably. He's going to take them all down. So,
what about this hypothetical, Rob? What if they say, dump Trump, bump Trump, we got Pence?
It's not the same, because Trump is a master manipulator. Trump has that crazy 30% of the population that Pence doesn't have. They see Pence as like almost part of the establishment. They like him now because he's part of Trump's cabinet. But he does not – I'm telling you, Trump is a cult. He's like a cult leader. These folks will follow Trump to the grave. And when push comes to shove, this crazy base and these Republicans in the House and the Senate are going to rally around Trump, and they are going to turn on Mueller. You heard it right here on Brother For Real. It's unfortunate,
you, man.
But I'm telling you.
Politics. I just think politics. End of the world. It's going to be the end of the world, brother.
Rob.
Yes, sir.
You know, what you're saying is really, you know, you're actually repeating history. You tell a history story
exactly right.
Every time we're talking. And so we've
mm-hmm.
all seen these movies before. And
mm-hmm.
and the only way out of this is the people are going to have to rise. You know, there is no
yeah.
waiting on Trump to do right. There is no waiting on the Republicans to do right. There is no waiting on the Tea Party to do right. There is no waiting on the white supremacists to turn in their Confederate flag. That's not going to happen. The people who are left in their right minds in this time in history are going to have to unite around a common interest in justice. And all of it's not going to be the same. Women are going to have to interact. There's going to have to be some intersectionality with people who want health care, women who are wanting women's rights, young black men who are being murdered and shot in the streets. All these issues are going to have to come together, and we're going to realize that the same people are doing it to all of us.
And
so
and you
that's
know what, Curtis,
what's going to have to happen. Right. Mm-hmm.
And you are right because, and I tell you something else, don't believe either. We watch the news. We watch sound bites. We watch CNN. We watch MSNBC. Some people watch Fox. What you're seeing is not the reality of what's happening in the country. In the country, believe it or not, there are more people that believe Trump should go.
Exactly.
But the media had you believing that there's almost this 50-50. That is not the truth. And what you're saying
too.
Is true, Curtis, because if these people, this disparate group of people, like you say, the women who are worried about women's rights, the LGBTQ, the minorities, the progressive whites, there
yeah.
are more of them
the
than they are of these people that are supporting Trump. It just so happened that our Congress does not support this. They're not the voice of the people. That's the bottom line.
Exactly. Another case
but they have
in
the
point,
power.
Robert. Another case in point. The tax bill they just passed. Even the
that's
recent,
right.
the most recent polls show about 29% approval
right.
of the tax bill.
That's right.
About 29% of the population.
So
nobody's behind
so
this
Curtis,
thing.
So, Curtis, what you said is exactly right. The masses, the people who actually know what justice looks like, who know what morality looks like, who know what
exactly.
fair play looks like, is the majority of the American people, the same people that voted in President Barack Obama twice, who've been hoodwinked
right.
by this
that's
this charlatan
right.
in the White House, they
exactly.
need to rise up and say enough is enough. And until that happens,
that's right.
who knows what's going to happen.
And that is why I stopped this thing about, well, we might have a worse thing with Pence. Even with Pence, they all barely got through. They barely squeaked through.
Right.
In fact, they didn't even get the number. So we do not
right.
have to tolerate this oppression, this sexism, this racism, this hypocrisy, this warmongering, this thievery through Wall Street and through this billionaire class. We do not have to tolerate this. We have the number. The same people who are being beaten down, like you said, by women's rights, by LGBTQ, or whether it's the immigrant rights that are being violated, all the people – are receiving it from the same few. And so
right.
we have to rise up, unite, and make sure that we have an agenda similar to what we have done here in North Carolina. We have to do it at a national level, and we have to add some more issues that are more, you know, more relevant to the grassroots, like, for example, mass incarceration. Mass incarceration is a major issue. As far as I'm concerned, that's the new plantation, mass incarceration. I know it's been called the New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. But that is an actual way to imprison people, and it's happening throughout the country. And we have to put in mass incarceration and all these other issues, women's rights and all these other issues, put this agenda together, and it's time for the people to rise up.
Rob,
what do you think, Leon?
Let me get folks to think about on our way out the door here. These guys,
yes,
if you don't believe me, Google it. In 43 states in this country,
These guys are being charged $50 a night to stay in the prisons. So when they walk out the door in prison, they're coming out just like you've been to college. You got a bill, you got a loan or whatever. These guys are being charged $50 a night.
You're right.
$50 a day to stay in prison. So
privatized prison.
It's crazy, man. This world, this is, I mean, we got to wake up for real, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
But this,
and that is
well, I'm
going to
end
Robert.
On a, that's right. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to end on a good note. And you guys have really wrapped this, helped me wrap this bow. I gave you the scenario of what's going to happen with Mueller and Trump because the Republicans in Congress and Senate and the House, at the last minute, when Mueller's going to have the noose ready to hang him by the neck, these Republicans are going to realize they're about to lose power, and they are going to turn on Mueller. They're going to start saying, hey, it's not legal. They're going to find all kind of loopholes and ways to try to discredit this investigation. But what you said, Curtis, and Leon, amen, is that the people, the majority of the people see it just like we see it. But we on the news shows every day, we see this balance and this dichotomy. Like there's a 50% on Trump's side and 50% on the other. That is not the reality. And guess what? Eventually, that's what's going to rule the day. But the people have to stand up. They have to, like they say, get woke, stay woke. They have to get on these Congress people. They have to get them out of there. And if we have to march on Washington and get them out of there, then that's what it's going to have to take. But the status quo is just not good enough anymore.
That's
but, folks, I'm telling you what, this is what I want you to think about next week, guys, and this has been on my mind. Remember, and I'm going to go on this. Many people who call themselves conscious and awake, you hear this a lot. Man, if I had been around during slavery, nobody could have enslaved me. Or, man, if I'd have been around during the 1950s when they were having those bus boycotts, man, nobody would have made me walk on the sidewalk or make me drink out of no colored water fountain. None of that would have happened during me because I'm big and bad and bold. But guess what, folks? You are right now witnessing some of the same things that happened during slavery, during Jim Crow. It's just by a different name. Because let me tell you, those slaves that were in shackles back then, they had no more way to get out of their bondage than these folks who are in prison right now. It was a system.
Absolutely.
These guys didn't just walk in and walk off the plantation like they when they wanted to. They were just as confined as these people who are confined right now in the penitentiaries. We have voter suppression right now. We have some things today that are not the same as they were back then, but worse. So all these bad folks out here are saying, hey, look, this wouldn't have happened to me. Guess what? It's happening to you. And we're going to talk about that on the next Brothers for Real show. Brothers, Leon, give me your final word.
Hey, Robert, I just like to tell everybody that we just got to wake up, man. I mean, your little brothers, your little sisters, your little cousins, shake them, wake them up. I mean,
wake
up. Bring them
wake up.
Wake them up, man.
Wake them up. Curtis, what say you?
Yeah.
Find a way.
Yeah, I do want to leave with a spiritual word as we always try to go out in spirit. I would like to, challenge everyone who say they are of the Christian faith because now, of course, Robert has already announced how you're having this so-called ban on Muslims and so on and so forth. So the righteous are the real, it's time for the real so-called Christians to stand up because if you stood up, first of all, you will understand that we can't tolerate the hypocrisy and the hijacking of the Christian religion. We talked. President Obama was forced almost to say radical Islamic terrorists. But we never talk about the radical racist terrorists who hijacked Christianity. It's time for us to take our religion back.
I saw a comic the other day. They had a group of old conservatives sitting around a table saying they were about to vote on cutting meals to children, banning people, suppressing the vote. And they said, before we start, ladies and gentlemen, let's have ourselves a prayer.
How about that?
That's what's happening to our country right now. They've hijacked religion. They've hijacked a lot of things, but it's not going to stand. Curtis, Leon, I love you guys. I appreciate you joining the Brothers For Real tonight. We'll be back next week, though. I look forward to it. And to all the listeners, I'd like to thank you for joining the Brothers For Real radio show. We don't have to be, you don't have to be a brother to join us. Just be real. Tell somebody. We'll be back next week at the same time on the Brothers For Real radio show. Go to the Brothers For Real website. Go to Facebook. Go to Twitter. Go to Instagram. Follow the brothers. And we will see you back here next week.
Amen.